The letters sent to those affected by the OPM cyber breach contain a certain sentence. It attempts to indemnify the government from any liability surrounding that breach. But that sentence alone may not protect the government from someone who wants to sue for damages. In this week's Legal Loop, we turn to federal employment attorney Heidi Barakowicz, a partner at the law firm Mary & Scallet. She joins me now with an insider's look at how the 1974 Privacy Act could cover recent cyber attacks and let those lawsuits fly. Heidi, good morning. Great to have you back.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
All right. So, first of all, I thought it was generally impossible to sue the federal government because of sovereign immunity. But actually, that's not true because you've got another lawsuit that's been going on for some time now, dating back to the furloughs of 2013.
Yes, that's correct. There are many areas where the government has waived sovereign immunity. You mentioned the furloughs, the government shut down in October 2013. The government, under the Fair Labor Standards Act, opened itself up to be sued if it doesn't pay its employees correctly, as it didn't pay its employees on time during the shutdown. Here, under the Privacy Act, there's a law specifically written to protect to require the federal government to take safeguards and protect information that it has about individuals. And if the government does not follow the requirements of the Privacy Act, and if there is any disclosure of an individual's information, there is a remedy for employees to sue the government for that breach.
And have you been approached on that yet by anybody, or have you seen any evidence that people might actually launch a lawsuit like that?
Absolutely. We've had I represent a great number of federal employees, and we've been contacted by many of them. I think that the overall feeling is that federal employees are extremely worried and outraged to hear that there has been yet another breach at OPM and that their information has possibly been disclosed to who knows whom. There's federal law enforcement employees who are concerned that people may have their home addresses. People are concerned about their social security numbers, what this is going to do to their credit. Federal employees are generally very upset about this.
And so what is the threshold here? Because if you say the Privacy Act merely requires the government to not have disclosure of private data, is the disclosure itself sufficient grounds for a lawsuit, or does it have to be something bad happen as a result of the disclosure?
Well, the law requires, I guess there's two possible hurdles here. The law requires that the government acted in a manner which was intentional or willful that led to the disclosure. That doesn't mean that they have to necessarily purposely have turned over the information. Courts look at the entire course of conduct, not just the final act, but how they acted leading up to it. So the questions would really be, what safeguards do the governments take to protect the information or to prevent their systems from being hacked? The second question, also in there, you know, there may be questions about whether OPM followed its own policies, whether they followed the standard of care to take steps to protect their information. I've read reports that there was information that should have been encrypted, but it wasn't, or that the Inspector General had warned OPM that they needed to make security upgrades, or even that OPM had been subject to previous hacks. All of those are factors which a court could consider to determine that the government and OPM acted intentionally or willful because they didn't take the steps to prevent this from happening, which seems, given the state of our world, you know, possibly inevitable that it could happen, or certainly that someone would try. The second step is that employees need to show that they've suffered an actual harm. And so there's some questions about what kind of a burden that would be. I know the government has offered 18 months of credit protection for people and suggested that they sign up to get a free credit report. The value of the time that people take to sign up for those resources could constitute actual harm. Also, the credit reporting is only going to last for 18 months. What happens after 18 months? And certainly some of the people that have already contacted me and my firm have already suggested that they're concerned that they've already had problems with their credit, because certainly the information was lost quite some time ago, although the government waited until, you know, just now, months later, to inform employees that their information was not secure.
All right, we're speaking with Heidi Barakowicz. She's a partner at the law firm Mary & Scallet. So those sound like fairly significant legal hurdles to get over, especially the second one. If there's actual damage, say someone has had a credit problem, it would be very hard to prove that it's because of that particular data breach, correct?
It might be. As I said, there's another possibility for showing actual harm, though. The value of the time that employees spend taking prophylactic measures to prevent harm from occurring could constitute actual harm. And that's something that certainly my firm is looking into.
All right. And I guess also whether OPM took the proper precautions, as you said, in the first hurdle. I guess at this point, given what's been happening in the congressional hearings, it's almost a matter of public record that they probably did not. And so that would seem like the easier door in before you get to that second step of damage.
That is correct. That is correct. There's a great number of reports and hearings and things that I've read about reflecting that OPM really didn't take the steps that it should have and didn't have up-to-state, state-of-the-art security to prevent this type of thing from happening.
Now, a good, smart business lawyer that someone might employ for protecting their business, the first thing they tell you is, whatever you do, stay out of court. You never win, even when you win in court, because of the cost and expense and reputational issues and so on. In the case of individuals, it's a different story, but it's still expensive, long, and difficult. What do you see as the best strategy for a lawsuit? Individual by individual? Could this be class action? And I think the furlough case was neither one of those, but a third type that you described earlier.
Definitely in this situation, I think a class action would be the advantageous way for employees to go. There's always strength in numbers. The furlough case, because of the law under which we were suing, the Fair Labor Standards Act, it needed to be an opt-in collective action. But I think under this statute, employees could file a class action that would cover all of the federal employees who have suffered actual harm as a result of this breach.
And so the financial basis of this would likely be a contingency so that the firm handling the class action or the company, or the law firms, I guess there'd be more than one probably, because it's national in scope, international in scope, they would work on a contingency basis, most likely?
All law firms handle things differently. That's certainly how my law firm handles our work. There are other firms who charge upfront and things like that. I think something that's worth mentioning, tort law and the ability to sue employers or companies in situations like this, it's not only to compensate the individuals who have been harmed, but also to correct the harms that exist out there. So if there is a lawsuit, hopefully, although the government should already have enough motivation for this, it'll help sort of cement that the government really does need to take steps to protect its employees, to protect this information. If that helps motivate the government to take the steps that it needs to, that would be good. The remedies that the law provides are that every individual who was harmed gets the greater of either $1,000 or their actual harm. So if an employee has had money stolen from their bank accounts in excess of $1,000, they would be entitled to that value as a remedy. Even if their harm is less than $1,000, the minimum damages are $1,000 per person, and that would add up quickly. And that's something that, as I said, if that would help motivate the government that it needed to take the necessary steps to protect its information, then that would be a good thing.
So if 14 million people were found to have been affected, that's $14 billion. 14 million times 1,000 is 14 billion. That puts it on the cigarette scale type of settlement, should it ever get that far.
There is a potential large amount of liability for the government in this situation, but what has happened is potentially is extremely egregious, and people stand to suffer a severe amount of harm. This is exactly the situation the law was meant to prevent.
And do you expect class action lawsuits to actually start gelling here, start getting underway?
Well, it's not clear. As I said, there's still the actual harm element of it. It might be that people, not until 18 months when their credit reporting expires, maybe that's when the actual harm will take place. Maybe it's taking place sooner. That's definitely something that we're looking into now.
All right. Heidi Barakowicz is a partner at the law firm Mary and Scallet. Thanks so much for joining us with that explanation.
Well, thank you for having me.